Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, April 14th, 2015. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, nearly $250 million in child support payments and federal funding at risk due to a legislative committee's decision last Friday to kill a bill that would bring Idaho's child support collection enforcement services into compliance with federal and international treaty regulations. Lake Ponderay compromise will keep the lake at a higher level this summer rather than flushing water to help bull trout. And Moscow committee makes decision on perch's request for a beer and wine on-premises consumption license and recommends allowing beer and wine sales for off-premises consumptions at the Moscow Saturday Farmers Market. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Four Idaho legislators met with representatives of the State Department of Health and Welfare and the Attorney General's Office on April 1st to express their concerns that a bill adopting federal standards for child support payment enforcement would mean having to follow Sharia law, which is seen by some as a way to force Islamic religious law on non-believers. According to the Idaho Statesman, Representative Vito Barbieri of Dalton Gardens, Representative Lynn Luker of Boise, Senator Bob Nonini of Coeur d'Alene, and Senator Cheryl Nuxall of Cottonwood, all Republicans, said at the meeting they were concerned the state will have to enforce child support payment arrangements coming under Sharia law. The lawmakers reasoned because the federal system of child support enforcement rules are written to comply with an international treaty signed by the U.S. called the 2007 Hague Convention on International Recovery of Child Support and Family Maintenance. Enforcement decisions in Idaho could potentially stem from Sharia law. The Statesman also reports nearly $250 million may be at risk if lawmakers do not reconvene in special session and reverse the House Judiciary Committee's 9-8 vote last Friday to kill the bill implementing child support enforcement rules. The state could lose $46 million in direct federal money and up to $200 million in child support payments to Idaho parents. The federal government has given Idaho 60 days to implement the enforcement policies or lose the federal dollars. Of the $46 million in federal dollars at risk, $30 million pays for temporary assistance to needy families. The April 1st meeting took place 6 days after Representative Barbieri hosted a dozen conservative lawmakers at a luncheon in which a guest speaker, described as a conservative Christian pastor who had converted from Islam, spoke about a threat from Sharia law on the U.S. legal system. Coeur d'Alene Press columnist Sholeh Patrick, who lived part of her childhood in Iran, wrote that Sharia means path in Arabic, and that some but not most Muslims believe in Sharia as a marriage of religion and state. Patrick wrote, "Most Muslims are the same as any other human being and don't condone violent or exported enforcement regardless of spiritual beliefs." Patrick wrote, "Islams don't agree what is or isn't Islam and what is or isn't Sharia." She also wrote that there is as much variety in the practice of Islam as there is in Christianity, noting Mormons, Catholics, and the racist Aryan Nations group all call themselves Christians. The column says, "I wonder how offended Christians would be if a Zoroastrian, Buddhist, or Hindu claimed to know more about Christianity than Christians themselves, yet here we persist in ignoring what Muslims say about their own religion. Mainstream and American Muslims continue to share their beliefs in a peaceful Islam, publicly condemning the use of Islam to justify violence, large scale and by more intimate speaking engagements, such as those hosted by Unity Church. Meanwhile, the Idaho Statesman reports the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare is working on contingencies for its 160 employees in its Child Support Division, which handled 155,000 child support cases last year. The group Feeding America has released a study showing 250,000 Idahoans are at risk of food insecurity. The study shows Idaho's food insecurity numbers for 2013 were down 0.2% from the year before. Feeding America says the state's food insecurity rate is 15.8% overall and 21.4% for children, slightly lower than the national average. Idaho Food Bank spokesperson Mike Sharp told the Spokesman Review website, Idaho food insecurity is not falling enough in response to improvements in the state's economy. Sharp said the demand hasn't gone down. We've distributed 15.1 million pounds of food just last year. We help about 131,000 people any given month. It's still about double what we can reach, and that's the worrisome number. Idaho Governor C.L. Butch Otter says he has reached an agreement with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Bonneville Power Administration to keep Lake Ponderay's water level high throughout the summer. The agreement will keep the summer operating level of the lake within 6 inches of 2,062 feet above sea level through the third Sunday in September or September 18th, whichever is later, and above 2,061 feet through the fourth Sunday in September or September 25th, whichever is later. The higher levels are in the interest of recreationists. The late September levels are for the Ponderay River Regatta College Crew Competition, held the fourth weekend in September. Governor Otter said yesterday, working with our state, federal, and tribal partners, as well as the many local citizens who commented on proposed lake operations, I am pleased to say that we have achieved a new process going forward that I think will maintain and enhance the scenic and recreational value of Lake Ponderay. Ponderay Basin Commission Chair Ford Elsasser told the Spokesman Review, we feel very good, I think, about what we've been able to accomplish. We now have a firm understanding of what the September situation is going to be. Earlier, the Kalispell tribe had proposed the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and Bonneville Power Administration release water into the Ponderay River to cool the water for the benefit of bull trout. The tribe withdrew the proposal last fall and instead called for bull trout habitat improvements below the dam. A former Idaho Correctional Center inmate and his paralegal girlfriend have filed a $50 million federal lawsuit against the Idaho Department of Correction. The Idaho Press Tribune reports former inmate Lance Wood and Renee McKenzie say Department of Correction staff harassed them and wrongly barred them from meeting because of their involvement in a separate lawsuit. McKenzie had been working with Wood but was taken off the separate case by a judge when McKenzie and Wood began a romantic relationship. Wood is serving a life sentence for involvement in the kidnapping, torture, and killing of a gay man in Utah. He is now in a prison in Oregon. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Majority Democratic leaders in the Washington House yesterday released a $15 billion transportation plan that would increase the gas tax by 11.7 cents per gallon in increments, starting with 5 cents per gallon next year. The plan is identical to an earlier Senate Republican plan in regards to the gas tax, but it is unlike the Republican plan in that it would not move money from the general fund to road projects. Democrats hope instead to save $1.3 billion through design changes to road and bridge projects. The Republican plan also removes funding for some road projects if the state enacts new carbon pollution rules. Democrats call that part of the Republican transportation plan a poison pill. House Transportation Committee Chair Judy Cliburn of Mercer Island said the transportation plan and carbon emissions should be dealt with separately. Both plans allocate more than $8 billion for road projects, including $750 million to finish building the North Spokane Freeway Corridor. Construction workers on a bridge over State Highway 410 in Bonnie Lake, Washington yesterday dislodged a giant slab of concrete, which fell on a car, killing three people. Police in the city about 30 miles southeast of Seattle say a man and a woman in their mid-20s died in the car on the highway below, as well as a six-month-old infant. The Tacoma News Tribune reported the two adults were the parents of the infant. Construction crews were installing a sidewalk on the bridge over the highway. The Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee yesterday decided not to recommend writing a letter to the Idaho Beverage Control Board in favor of allowing the Perch store to sell beer and wine for on-premises consumption. The Perch had sold beer and wine for on-premises consumption in 2013 under a previous owner, but the Alcohol Beverage Control Board shut that down when they found the Perch did not sell enough food to qualify as a restaurant. Establishments that receive at least 40% of their revenue from food qualify as restaurants and are allowed to sell alcohol for on-premises consumption. The city must issue an exemption to a state law prohibiting the sale of alcohol for on-site consumption within 300 feet of a school or place of worship. The Perch at 509 University Avenue is located just under 300 feet from the Latter-day Saints Institute on Deacon Street. The LDS Institute has urged the city not to issue the letter. City Council members asked Perch owner Walt Lochteff to wait another year before asking for the city letter again. Lochteff told the committee he'll go out of business if he has to wait another year. But council member Jim Boland said the Perch sold $15,000 worth of beer for off-site consumption in February this year, so he doesn't think the Perch will go out of business. The issue revolves around the original Perch, which has been located on University Avenue near the University of Idaho campus for 50 years. The Perch also operates the Perch 2 on 6th Street. The Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee also yesterday recommended the full council adopt a resolution to allow up to four vendors each week to sell packaged local beer and wine at the Moscow Saturday Farmers Market. The plan requires vendors to specify certain areas for sampling if they offer samples and to limit samples to 1.5 ounces. Moscow Arts Director Kathleen Burns said the four vendor spots for local wine and craft beer would be interspersed throughout the farmers market and would be filled in a walk-up fashion each week. The Pullman City Council tonight will be asked to rezone about 48 acres between Hickman Court and Northeast Eastgate Boulevard on College Hill from low-density residential to commercial. The council will also be asked to rezone 1.8 acres at 620 Northeast Stadium Way on College Hill from commercial to high-density residential. The council will also be asked to approve a resolution between the City of Pullman and the City of Lewiston to provide for hazardous materials emergency assistance. The council will also be asked to authorize submittal of a certified local government grant application to the Washington Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation for developing a mobile app for walking tours of historic resources in the downtown area. The council will also honor four Pullman residents with Volunteer of the Year awards for their assistance to the city. They are John Anderson, Angie Bauer, Matt McNelly, and Doi Toan Vu. Tonight's Pullman City Council meeting begins at 7 p.m. at City Hall. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, 20% chance of rain and snow before midnight. Cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy. Low 28, west winds 10 to 20, gusts up to 25. Mostly sunny Wednesday through Sunday. High 49 tomorrow, 57 Thursday, 66 Friday, and 61 Sunday and Monday, with lows 32 Wednesday night, 37 Thursday night, 41 Friday night, and 37 Saturday night. Currently, we have overcast skies, 44 degrees reported at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport. There is some sun shining in downtown Moscow at this very moment, however. I'm Lee Robartis. Thanks for listening to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, we have Counterspin. Switched Counterspin's time slot with Making Contact this week by accident. So Counterspin will air tonight at this time. And next Tuesday night at 6, our weekly documentary, Making Contact, from the National Radio Project, will be heard at its regular usual time, 6 to 6:30 on Thursdays. Counterspin will return to its regular slot of 4:30 p.m. on Tuesdays as well. Both those shows Tuesdays, once again, Counterspin 4:30 p.m. on Tuesday afternoons, and our weekly documentary Making Contact at 6 p.m. on Tuesdays. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. You can go to the Radio Free Moscow website, krfp.org, to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can also mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. KRFP, Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial.